Much of the news coverage of ISIS has dwelt as much on the movement's facility with branding in the age of social media as on its more gruesome activities. But even before YouTube, terror and branding were hardly strangers. A visit to a garden shed earlier this year set Luke McManus to investigate the enduring power to communicate of some of history's most infamous branding.
Last New Year's Eve, I went to a party. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm actually a fan of New Year's Eve. It feels a bit like a bonus night, after the madness of Christmas and all that it entails. You're almost ready for the cold grip of winter, but then you get this little extra chance for fun and a bit of frivolity. After a while, I got chatting to the host. You know, I've something at the back that might interest you, he said. So we opened the patio door, and out we went to his shed. It was a new shed. It smelled of creosote, and it had a little bit of sawdust in the corners, like it had just been assembled. He started rummaging in some boxes, and as he did, he started to tell me about how he'd come across these mysterious items.
We came across these two glass lamps in an antique shop, and they were big, heavy. They looked like they'd suit the house. We were told they were from Paris, probably around the 1920s. They were Art Deco. They looked Art Deco. That's what we were told they were. And we bought them. They weren't cheap. We unpacked them and they looked great. We were delighted. And when I went to pack up the boxes that they came in, I noticed something kind of metallic at the bottom of one of the boxes. And I reached in and I pulled out this, a small button. Off a uniform, a military uniform, quite obviously. So I pulled back the flap at the bottom of the box and hidden under there I found these.
And what these were was a collection of emblems, buttons, badges. Some were made of velvet, others of a metal like brass. But they all shared common iconography. The 20th century's most infamous symbol, the Hakenkreuz, or as we call it, the swastika.
I suppose the minute I looked at them, I knew they were, well, I don't know why, but I kind of felt they were authentic because of just the way they're presented. I don't know, I was initially intrigued, but then kind of not sure about if I wanted to have them in the house, which sounds stupid, but I think the swastika just has that effect on us, really, you know. We're not superstitious or anything like that, but when we saw these things, they just made us think, you know, we don't really want them in the house. Maybe there's a bad vibe to them, or who knows what uniform were these on and what happened. You know, what actions did the soldier take that wore this uniform? I mean, what have these things seen?
What had these things seen? The first thing to do was to find out what exactly they were and whose uniform they might have been part of. My friend wasn't that reluctant to lend them to me. He seemed mildly relieved to have them out of the house. In fact, that voice you've just heard isn't my friend at all. If the voice sounds familiar, it's because it's an actor's voice. The power of the swastika remained so strong that my friend didn't want to be associated with it on the radio.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
As it happens, White's auctioneers were about to have one of their eclectic collector sales, which contained a large amount of military memorabilia. Stuart Purcell was happy to take a look at my friend's find.
I'm head of collectibles here at White's. I'm in charge of, as the title suggests, all the collectibles that come through the sale room. We do an enormous range of medals, postcards, cinema posters, antiques, silver, an extraordinary range of things, photography. We currently have an 800-lot sale called the Eclectic Collector. And we have an enormous range of military in that sale and some really, really interesting items from the whole spectrum of military history. So what we have is a series of gilt metal badges, and they are clearly German. clearly from the late 1930s and early 1940s. And that's particularly obvious because we have the eagle and the swastika. They're rank badges, three little lozenge-shaped studs on them, and then the German eagle and swastika.
And that's the rank of an Obersetzleutnant, or if my German is correct, something like that, of the National Socialist Workers' Party. So this is an official party member who would have been part of a regiment, who would have been added to a regiment of soldiers on active service somewhere, and he was there to ensure that the party ideals were being followed.
I immediately formed an opinion of the uniform's owner. A proselytizer. A hater of heresy. A rat.
Hitler was involved in the creation of almost every order and medal and uniform. He was involved in the design of it right the way through the system. We have in this sale, funnily enough, we have in this collector's sale, we have fire brigade uniforms. And they were actually the fire police, because he inaugurated the fire brigade and the police. And he was the one who wrote the order saying the uniform was going to be navy blue, was going to have a carmine piping along the edge, and it was going to have all the eagle was going to be this particular type of eagle in this particular type of colour right the way through the design of the photo of the uniform. So it's an extraordinary how involved he seems to have been in the design of these things and how important the importance he placed on them. It does give you the creeps, though. You know, even though you sit here and it's 60 years ago, you still sit here and look at it and go, oh, you know, there's something not nice about it. You know, there's something that gives you the shivers. And I just have to remind myself that I'm just handling a historical object.
It felt as if I'd stumbled into a weird version of Antiques Roadshow. So there was a certain inevitability to my next question.
I think if it were going into auction, I'd recommend selling it as a lot together. And I suspect we're looking at about €300 to €500.
So how do a set of Nazi rank badges end up hidden in the bottom of a cardboard box in Dublin?
It's a funny thing about those boxes. They just go from auction room to dealer to auction room to dealer to auction room to dealer, and round and round and round they go. So, I mean, that box could have travelled the world at this point in time. And who knows how many sale rooms and antique dealer shops it's been in, and in what cities. Could be sitting in the bottom of that box for a week, a year. You will never know. I think they are the best designed, the most cohesive series of medals and awards you will find anywhere in the world today. It was a consummate branding exercise.
Luke McManus there, and White's The Eclectic Collector auction is on in the Freemasons Hall in Dublin tomorrow. And on Monday, Luke will be looking further at the mark of the swastika on Ireland.